And welcome back once again to the Paranormal Minds podcast. I'm your host, Shane, and today I'm joined with my two co-hosts, Josh and Tommy.
Hi.
What's up?
I'm deciding to stay professional today.
No.
And I'm going to stay on task and on track and deliver this episode.
You sound like the guy from, like, oh, is that PBS Masterpiece Theater or something like that? Like, you know, very professional, very calm. It's nice. Yeah.
Well, I have to stay calm because today's story is electrifying.
Professionalism ended.
It's electrifying. Oh, he's going to break out in a musical. I got excited.
Well, right?
Oh, man.
All right. Today we will be talking about Angelique Cotin, also known as the Electric Girl.
No.
Yeah, straight out of the X-Men.
I see.
That's what I should have done some intro music. The din 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 din.
Hey, that was
din 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 din.
That's pretty good.
There you go, Josh. You gotta find that.
Now I'm gonna use Shane's voice. Then, what are you talking about?
That's what I'm saying. You just gotta cut that and put that in there.
Oh, man. All right. So our story takes place in La Perrière, France, in 1846. So we visit Angelique Cotin, a 14-year-old girl doing whatever 14-year-old girls were doing in France in the 1800s. Which, can you guess what that was?
Mining.
I mean, pretty close. She was working. Well, not as bad as mining. She was weaving gloves.
I was about to say, probably working in, like, clothing.
Yeah.
Doing something.
So, yeah, she was using one of those big old wooden weaving contraptions. I don't know what they're actually called, but you guys can picture it, right? That thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing you use to DJ. Got it. Turntables.
A loom? It's not a loom, is it?
Yeah, I think it is a loom, actually.
Okay. Well, we'll call it a loom. That sounds right.
Hold up. I'm going to fact
check. Whoa.
All right. Nope, I'm not waiting on Tommy to fact check. We're moving on. All right, so she's with another group of girls using the glove-making loom-weaving contraption, whatever it's called, when suddenly the frame of the machine started to twist and jerk. And these are big machines, right? Made of wood. And a huge chunk of it just flew off of the machine and flew across the room into the wall. So, obviously, all the girls run away in terror. They run home. They tell their parents. They're like, man, this shit's whack. You know, well, they didn't speak like that back then. But this machine flew apart, right? And it was all contorting, and they'd never seen anything like that. Well, the parents, being very nice parents that they were like, shut up. Get back to work. You're making stuff up. You're not getting out of work. We need gloves, all right? Teenage girls. So forced them all to go back to work. Well, they were smart enough to experiment. Like, all right, what caused this? So they were approaching the machine one by one. You know, like, all right, what's going on? Well, they realized when Angelique would walk up to the machine, it would start shaking and doing its contorting thing again. They're like, man, what's going on? And once she would actually lay her hand on it, it would start the whole contorting and twisting and doing all the stuff it was before. So then the parents believed her. Right, believed everybody. And Angelique's parents, I'm sure you can guess what they did after seeing this. They were like, oh, shit, she's possessed. She's a witch. You know, all the evil stuff. Yeah.
I was going to say sell her to a freak show, but, you know, that's that too.
Oh, yeah. The first step's always the church. So they... So they did. They brought her down to the local church, and they're like, hey, priest man... She's got the demons in her. Get them out. You can do what you do. So they performed an exorcism on her that lasted for 6 months.
Damn.
That part's made up. I'm just...
Oh, shit.
Both of y'all's eyes widened up like, oh, that's a long exorcism.
Shit.
Wasn't there a guy we just did that had like a month-long exorcism or something, like or 10 days or something like that?
Yeah, there's been some long ones. But they just did the normal exorcism. And the priest, this was a competent priest. You know, he wasn't like the other ones we hear of, like, no, let's call in 10 more priests and keep doing it. He was like, you know what? We're still seeing stuff fly away from this girl. She's still exhibiting these symptoms. Maybe take her to a doctor. So I'm giving props to this priest.
Yeah.
He's like, I don't think it's demons. My priesty magic would have expelled them. All right. So they did go to an actual medical doctor for evaluation. So Angelique was brought to a Dr. Tan Chow. So while he could not, he still couldn't figure out what was going on with her either, but he did document through a week, 2 weeks, you know, of his evaluation of the girl. He did document and publish some findings, including the following. So, number one, when people would go near Angelique, they would feel small electrical shocks, like currents in the air, almost like static electricity. The power seemed to mostly emanate from her left side. All objects that she touched would fly around the fly across the room of like medium size. Large size would, you know, slide. One experiment had three grown men on a large wooden chest, and she was still able to send that across the room with her touch. But smaller objects would fly away just by her approaching, right? So real wild. So there was a limit to the strength. Thought you would find this was interesting, Josh. The power was strongest when she was connected to bare earth. So when she was grounded bare feet on natural ground is when her power was the strongest. But it would diminish if she was on cork or waxed cloth. Whatever waxed cloth is, I don't. What do you use waxed cloth for? Like,
I don't know. Maybe wrapping food substances with. I'm not sure.
That makes sense. Mm-hmm. The power would also diminish if she was fatigued, which I hated reading that. It's like, man, that means they starved this poor girl, made her run on a treadmill or whatever they had going on. Like, all right, let's see if we can bring this down. So after a while, the doctor, he's like, all right, you know, now I can't figure anything out. So let's take this a step above medical doctor. So she's been through a priest. She's been through medical doctor. So then they brought her to Paris to a Francois Argot. And he was an astronomer. I don't know why they chose astronomer, but maybe they thought she was an alien. I don't know. So the Argo and his team, also a lot of papers, a lot of articles published out there. I took away the following key points from their research. so they tested the whole, you know, light item versus heavy item stuff. And so they would use a sheet of paper and they would set it on the table. And as Angelique would walk up to the table, every time that paper would fly away, the table would stay still until she touched it. And these large wooden tables, you can imagine how heavy tables were in the 1800s, would just fly across the room, right? They also documented that her power was the strongest between 7 and 9 p.m. at night. And during that time, she was like in a state of almost agony, right? To where she would touch items and they could explode. And her left side during this time would stay warm. Just her left side where the first doctor realized the power came from, then she would just stay warm during this heightened state from 7 to 9 p.m. Also, if you touched her during this time, you didn't get that little static you got before. You would get an actual, like, powerful electrical shock when you touched her. So during the time she was with Argo in Paris, a bunch of scientists came in. They observed this. They more papers, more articles. That's why I was drawn to this. I'll give Bree, probably our number one fan out there, sent... No context, just sent this name. And I was like, what is this name? Who is this Angelique Cotton? And research, and you can find all the scientific research on her. So I'm like, you know how I like my shit, rooted in realness. And this is as real as it is. Like, it's very documented out there. So, so yeah, thanks, Brie, for sending the name. So yeah, I encourage all our listeners out there, you definitely dig in a little deeper. There's a lot of I couldn't summarize it all on this podcast, but there's a ton of stuff to read through, a ton of experiments, ton of articles. All right. So then, all of a sudden, like just one day, 10 weeks after that first incident with the glove machine, whatever, the loom, 10 weeks after that, poof, it was gone. No more powers, no more electricity, shocks from her, no warm left side, nothing flew away from her, nothing. It was all just done. Hmm. And they continued on with their lives. So after everything ceased, a lot of people are like, oh, yeah, she was faking it the whole time, like everybody does for anything paranormal they can't explain. Even some of the scientists that had went and viewed her and couldn't figure out what would cause it, then later published things like, oh, yeah, you know, it was all just her strength. She had somehow learned to fling 500-pound tables across the room with one finger. Rather than them admit something was paranormal, that's still paranormal, right? A 14-year-old girl with Hulk strength.
Yeah.
I mean, you just switched from having one superpower to another. I mean, that's all that was. So to go a little deeper with this, started researching more and more and more. This has happened to other people as well, like all around the world. And oddly enough, mostly in the 1800s. To this extreme, right? So we have like 1802, a guy named General Dayton in New Jersey, 1838, a Mrs. B in New Hampshire, 1882, a six-year-old boy in Zulu, 1869, a baby in France. Can you imagine trying to pick up a baby and get electrocuted every time?
Sorry, baby!
Oh, man. 1895, we got Jenny Morgan in Missouri. Anyway, it goes on, and a lot of them are in the 1800s. Now, there are stories outside of that. In the 1820s, I think there was a prison in New York that had all of a sudden like 20, 30 prisoners all exhibited symptoms, not to the degree of Angelique, but similar electrical-type powers all at the same time for a span of like a couple weeks. I don't know why they didn't all break out of prison, like shocking the guards.
Yeah, right. With our powers combined.
Man, could you imagine that villain team?
Oh, God. Ain't no Batman in the world that could take care of that.
Right. But there's also, like, through the time, that, you know, that even sometimes happens currently, but what I saw most heavily to the degree of Angelique was back in the 1800s, mm-hmm. And then it's kind of diminished with little things here and there since. And also, like, the articles and everything, there's tons of books, tons of studies, you know, just, you know, this is something I would encourage you. Can I give people homework listening to a podcast?
Yeah.
I
mean, yeah.
Dr. Shane's podcast homework.
Yes.
There'll be a pop test on Friday.
Oh, no, I'm assigning a research paper. I want you to document someone that I did not mention, a new person. And what do you think, 300-word essay? That's good.
Yeah.
That'll
work.
And you have till Thursday at 3 p.m. Central to turn it in.
Yeah. Or you're all getting Fs.
Big Fs. And that goes on your permanent records.
Mm-hmm. He has that ability, ladies and gentlemen.
I do. I will hack into the FBI database and just put a random PDF that just says F on it, and everybody will be baffled.
I am really curious as to what an actual permanent record looks like. Like, I'm not entirely sure that's a thing that exists. I think they just made that up to scare you.
Right.
Because outside of school, that shit makes no difference whatsoever.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Right. Now, depending on the degree, now you get arrested out of school, it does stick with you for a while.
Yeah, that's a little different. Mm.
I may or may not know that from experience. Shit, Josh, I think we were in the class together when they pulled me out of class, weren't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, Mr.
Back
E.
Back in eighth grade.
Yeah. Old Mr. E.
Oh, man. Anyways, we're not going to tell that story. So on Angelique and these electrical powers, what do you guys think about this?
It's a wild story. I don't know if I've ever heard anything quite like that.
I've heard something similar, like people having like a magnetic field about them where like they'll wear watches and stuff, and then the watches just act up and like they can't really be around electronics for too long because they mess up. But not somebody electrocuting somebody outside of like rubbing their sock feet across the carpet and stabbing them with their finger, you know.
So. What if it's not necessarily that she's electrocuting things? What if this is like a telekinetic thing? Because the wood's what gets me, moving wood objects around like that. Mm. Because wood is an insulator, so it would be not quite as conductive. Like, you wouldn't be able to blast it with electricity and it move, right? Like, maybe it's the immense telekinetic thing happening around her that's causing, you know, the electricity in the air to shock people or to shock the objects that are around.
So you have already figured out Easter egg number one.
Oh, shit. Nice. Yes.
Oh, I didn't tell you there's Easter eggs in this one. Yeah.
Oh.
So funny enough, because the I left this out until somebody brought it up. I should have known it was going to be you, Josh. Such a smarty. But
no.
Her powers had no effect on metal, which we know is the exact opposite of how electricity behaves.
Yeah.
So.
Hmm. Yep. Nailed it.
Very interesting.
Yeah.
But I do like that because that was my thought. Like, they probably had no better word for what they were feeling from this girl. Like, you know, like, did they use words like, you know, psycho, whatever you said?
Oh, telekinetic.
Telekinetic.
I would assume so. I mean, just based on the stories that people have written over through the years and the shit forever, they've mentioned you know, people having the ability to move things with their minds. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm sure they had a word for it. Might not have been telekinesis, but it was probably something similar.
No, witchcraft.
Yeah, witchcraft. Exactly.
Yeah.
But you think, like, the field from a telekinesis field or something, if you stuck your hand in that.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the only way to explain it is kind of electric or, you know, shocking.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because I've always pictured telekinesis kind of like the way you're explaining it. Like, you have to move everything between you and the object you're trying to move. So the air pressure would be different. Everything would be different in that line of moving that object. Mm-hmm. And to move 500 pounds, that's kind of, I mean, that's crazy as hell.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, to think, like, how three men on a large wooden chest. So back then, I'm sure large wooden chest means 200 pounds, right? And probably each of the men was around 200, right?
Yeah, I would assume, 150, 200 pounds,
So that right there is probably, let's just say, we'll round it down to 700. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah, for a 14-year-old to move,
How do you think that scientist felt, saying, no, she just pushed all of them with her finger and thought he was doing something?
Right, I think I would have felt more dumb saying that than...
Right. Right, I would have rather went to witchcraft. Like, yeah, she's a witch.
Yeah, murder. At least
get the power rating.
Yeah. It would have been a logical thing then.
How old was she again?
14.
14. I mean, I don't know anything too much about her, obviously, but you know, we brought up like poltergeist hauntings could be. Some people have determined that a lot of poltergeist hauntings deal with girls coming of age. You know.
Yeah.
So I wonder if it's on the same level as that.
And it just followed her around just for 10 weeks and was like, I'm done.
I mean, how long does the poltergeist haunting last? I mean, it depends, you know. So,
Then why didn't the exorcism work?
Well, because it's dealing with the girl herself, not demons.
Oh, you're saying, that she herself was a poltergeist?
Yeah, that's the concept with young girls going through essentially puberty is some people say that poltergeist activity happens around them, and therefore it's not really a ghost. It's the girls themselves putting out the energy that's causing all the issues. So.
Well, what about that baby then?
I don't know about that baby. Maybe that baby's actually got demons in it. I don't know.
And those grown men in the prison.
Right. Well, they got demons in
them. Yeah.
They were all just coming to age at the same time as 30-year-old prisoners.
It happens. It's what people are late bloomers, man. Late bloomers.
When were the witch trials over here?
16.
Oh, they were that far back? Never mind.
Oh, man.
I couldn't remember.
Now I'm going to have to Google.
I think it was the later part of whatever century it was. But I was going to be like, it's because all the witches we burned, they were just fucking giving them all the powers.
1692 to 1693.
I thought it was 1692, but I didn't want to just outright say 1692.
Yeah. Isn't there a song to help you remember?
No, that's 1492.
In 1692, there was a witch that went boogity-boo.
There you go. You just create it so that way you can understand the witch trials.
Yeah, it's got to be super catchy, though.
Right, right. Too bad that Columbus song didn't actually tell the truth, huh? You know?
Yeah, 1492.
They need to just change it to him and his crew banging those manatees.
Yeah. They're just mergly mermaids.
I mean, I guess to be fair, if you're, you know, stuck on a boat for 3 months with a bunch of sweaty, nasty men who haven't bathed in like 3 months, you know.
A manatee that's never bathed.
Manatees.
I mean, beggars
good.
Can't be choosers, I guess. I don't know what to tell you.
I don't know. I'm gonna opt for the dudes, man. I'm not fucking a manatee. So why do you think it came from her left side? Any thoughts on
that's
that?
That's where the heart is.
Wow. That was fast.
No, I mean, I was thinking about it. When he said left side, I thought about it, and I'm like, your heart's on the left side, so.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. But I'm wondering if there's something to do with the left side of your brain, right side of your brain. If one side is, like, wired differently than the other. I think one side of your brain is considered more of a creative kind of side, where the other side is more of a, like, functional, makes everything kind of go.
I think right side is more creative and left side is more rational.
Yeah.
I think it's what, something like that.
Yeah, the left temporal lobe controls memories related to facts and information, along with the ability to recognize faces and objects. It also controls your ability to create and understand language.
So, I don't think that's it. Unless the right brain's like over there, like manhandling the left side. Like, you're going to...
Well, isn't it somewhere where, like, technically, like, the left side of your body is controlled by the right side of your brain, and the right side is controlled by the left side? Or am I just stupid? I could just be stupid.
I don't know. The brain's so complex, man. It, you know, could be.
Yeah, that's what this does say, that each side operates the other side.
So maybe we're onto something with that then.
And then the right side is responsible for image processing, spatial thinking.
And then, you know, that may be why when you dream at night, people don't remember faces in their dreams. because I think it comes from the right side of your brain when you dream.
Maybe.
Because you said left side was for facial recognition. That's what just kind of made me think of that.
Oh, yeah, maybe.
Anyways, we might be onto something with, you know, any of that, you know?
Yeah, so the right side of the brain wired over. Okay. I could also see the heart. I mean, if it's coming from some sort of internal energy pumping through.
Look, yeah. The true power comes from the heart. We know this from Disney cartoons.
All right. Can you imagine the doctor telling her that? Like, your power is coming from your heart. You must go forth and save the princess.
The reason it stopped is because she found friendship, and friendship was the true power all along.
Sorry, but our princess is in another castle, motherfucker. Not just kidding.
Jeez, she's getting over here being evil.
Sorry, my beard was driving, my mustache was driving me fucking crazy. It's like in my mouth. I need a shave.
Yeah, I can't see your top lip anymore. You're one of those guys now.
One of the no top lip guys? No, I don't like that.
I haven't seen one in a while, but you remember the ones that would grow over their entire mouth?
Oh, man. I'm like, how do you eat anything?
Right.
Not that you can't just shove it through the hair in your mouth, but like, why would you want to do that? Why?
Maybe they're aliens, and that's where their like taste buds are, right there. So they have to.
Like, what is it? Squidward? Not Squidward. Zoidberg.
Oh yeah.
Squidward, Zoidberg. I mean, they're pretty similar. Oh, I actually want to see those two in a room together.
Yeah. I think they'd go after each other. Like, hey, baby.
I think Zoidberg would just eat Squidward.
Probably.
Oh, man. So on that talk with, you know, on the talk of everything we're talking about, I don't know what kind of sentence I was trying to say. So the grounding aspect, you know, I thought that was pretty interesting, and especially I know, Josh, you're drawn to grounding and researching that. So what are your thoughts on that? Because that's also not normal for electricity, you know, to be pulling more power from the ground. It's usually the opposite, right? Like if lightning hits something and it's on the ground, then it doesn't get through the dirt.
Well, electricity is always trying to find the fastest possible way to ground.
Mm-hmm.
So grounding, just put it in the concept of like an electric motor. If you don't have, on 110, you have to have a way to get back. You need a line and a neutral and a ground. It's hard to explain. I'm seeing it in my head. I don't know how to explain it to you. But in order for that motor to work, you need that extra grounding. You need it to push harder, and that's what you got to have. So I could see that being a thing where she's got everything she needs to give that little extra push. The metal thing still doesn't make any sense to me, though. Like not being able to. Like, it doesn't really have effect on metal. Why? I don't understand that.
All right. Well, that's where thinking the grounding stuff. So not for electricity, but for that connection to nature. Like, is it actually Earth's energy, not electricity, that was emanating through her heart, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Her heart brain. Maybe that helps her create a bigger, like Tommy said earlier, like a magnetic field that some people have. Maybe touching the earth, maybe essentially grounding yourself to the earth helps your magnetic field become bigger or stronger in some kind of way. You know, because when I step on the ground barefooted, I always feel it directly in my feet. I don't feel it like emanating through my body or anything, but it's always at my feet, so maybe it's that you can always feel the magnetic field in your feet. I don't know, you know. I couldn't tell you, honestly.
Unless there's some earthbound entity that chose these people for something. I don't know what the goal would have been. Mm. And it's like, we're granting you this power to do something.
Yeah.
But we want you running around barefoot. And she just missed the call to join, you know, Mother Nature's secret army.
Yeah. What for good? What's it for? Was that the Industrial Revolution? Was that around that time? When was that? Does anybody know? Mother Earth.
Mr. History.
There. Yeah. Mother Earth is like, listen, I'm tired of this. I need an army.
That's actually a good point, because it's like, why were there so many in the 1800s?
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
That is around the time of the Industrial Revolution. About, you know.
Yeah, started 1760, but was ramped up 1820 to 1840. Damn, that might be it.
Give her a while to get sick of it. Mother Nature is infinite, and when we're dead and gone, she will take back over.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, Mother Nature, if you are a listener of the podcast, give me this power, and I will run around barefoot and blow up buildings for you. Absolutely.
Yep. The first tomorrow morning, we're going to hear like news stories. Buildings started collapsing all around Memphis, Tennessee.
Just do all the modern ones because they're ugly.
Yeah.
Keep all the, you know, turn of the century, 1930 ones.
They all got to go. I just want trees.
No concrete.
Oh.
Man.
Ooh, man, I would go nuts.
I can see you just standing up there just being like, woo, woo, woo. Buildings are just falling down.
It's just dripping. Like, what is it?
Being a maestro.
A director.
Yeah.
Dun, 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 dun. Boom. Oh, man. I got to pick a superhero name. I don't guess anyone would see you as a superhero, though.
No, you'd be a villain. So.
All right. I'll take it.
But then again, you know, Thanos was a villain, and technically what he did was actually save the universe. So.
Yeah. Well,
it's all about balance.
Which is seeing those coffee mugs, Thanos was right.
Yeah, we do. We all need one of them. Every time we agree on something, Thanos was right. That's too funny.
So yeah, just mentioned the magnetic field again. So to me, that kind of feels the same as it not being electricity, because a magnetic field still wouldn't repel wood or anything, would it?
No, I wouldn't think so.
But there was one of those studies that referenced that compasses and stuff would act funny around her. So there was some sort of magnetic energy, right?
Yeah.
But, shit, I mean, I guess if you can throw tables across the room, a compass needle isn't going to be much.
Right.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like...
What about...
Go ahead, Tommy. I'm going to look something up.
Oh, I was going to say, what about vibration? You know, some people believe that we, you know, there's a level of vibration. Everything vibrates, right? Causing energy and stuff like that. And, of course, with vibration, you get friction, which causes heat, which would explain maybe the left side of her body being warm because it's vibrating more. And maybe that's like when she touches somebody or pushes something, she's actually just vibrating the air around her to cause it to move.
Hmm.
And as far as like shocks, I mean, think about it. You know, if you've never felt a type of vibration, like, you know, from a massager or something, you might think you're getting shocked. Mm. So
yeah, that's actually pretty damn legit, Tommy. Like something came unsynced with her and these other people, and their vibrations are a little out of control.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That actually explains every damn bit of this.
So. I can be smart from time to time. It's a rarity, but it happens.
Yep, I just put a gold star next to your name here. It's the second one you've got. All right.
Nice.
In 20 years of friendship, more, right? Yeah. Two gold stars.
Two gold. Hey, I don't have any, so you're on top, Tommy. Okay.
No.
I just have like blood smears next to your name. I don't know.
He's like, yes. So I wanted to look up if ionizing air causes electricity, because I wasn't sure. I was pretty sure it did, because people talk about when you blow the dust out of your computer, you're not supposed to use like certain things to blow it out because it ionizes the air and it can cause static electricity. And I'm not sure. Actually, I should have looked that up before I started talking, but I would assume that a very, very strong magnetic field could create the amount of electron volts needed to ionize air. And that's where people were probably getting the shock from that they thought was happening around this girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes sense.
And, but it doesn't explain them being able to move the wooden box or anything like that. But like that, maybe that goes back to the theory of what we were talking about in the beginning of, like, you know, she's moving this stuff telekinetically, which is causing the air to ionize because it costs energy to make things happen, right? Like you gotta use the energy of your brain to move those things telekinetically, and where she may not have been controlling it on her own, you know, maybe that's what was causing that, the electric shocks at least, and that's why everybody's like, oh, I'm getting shocked. But I like Tommy's theory too of the vibrations.
I had mentioned earlier that this happens a little bit these days, right? And so there's actually a syndrome people throw around now called high voltage syndrome. Have you guys ever heard of that? And I think it's pretty similar to what, you know, Tommy started with the watches, you know, the people with the magnetic fields, because it's that. And it's what Angelique experienced, but on a very, very, very low level. Like they... like the interference with little things. One of the most common things, though, is walking under a street light and it flickers. So I don't know if that's related to these people or not. Do you guys see any correlation? So with what you were talking about with like ionizing or the vibrations, do we think that would affect things like a street light?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I would say probably depends on how much they put out.
Yeah. You know,
and how close they are to the streetlight. But, yeah, I think so.
Yeah. Because you were saying that her simply walking into a room would manipulate things, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah, I could 100% see that. If she's projecting in all directions like it seems to be, then yeah, I could see that. But it's almost like, did she have control of it at all? Because you're saying like she could just touch something, and was it her being like, I'm gonna touch this and it's gonna move, or was it just she touched it and it moved, kind of thing?
Yeah, it wasn't willing.
Okay, so it just happened because she touched it. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
that is very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it even like mess up her clothes and stuff. Yeah, she wasn't digging it.
Oh man, that would almost suck. Could you imagine if like static electricity, all your clothes were stuck to you like constantly? Ugh, that would suck. And sorry to interrupt you, Tommy, but I had to say that.
It's all right. No, it's almost like you know, you've seen superhero origin stories and stuff where they're trying to figure out their powers and all that, and you know, like Spider-Man sticking to everything because, you know, he doesn't understand how to control, you know, the sticky, I guess, whatever you want to call it. It almost sounds like that, like as if she couldn't control it. Do we think maybe within those 10 weeks she learned to control it? And that's why it stopped.
That is another interesting take. Look at Tommy. He's on it.
Yeah, he is.
She was tired of everybody poking and prodding her and was just like, all right, I'm going to cover it up. Just go back home. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you spend, gosh, back then they probably spent 16, 17 hours just, like you said, poking and prodding her, making her do stuff. Probably when she was alone, she just focused and worked on trying to control it and finally was able to. And, you know, then they were like, well, I guess she's cured. And, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe she's still alive. She got this power summoned through her and she's out there in the shadows, you know, protecting us from the grays or something.
Right.
Right.
Nope. Just touch their ship. It flies off into outer space.
Yeah. You imagine being an alien flying up like, gonna kill some humans. And then just one just like, boop,
oh.
And your ship flies away.
The ship's log. Don't go back. At least that's what mine would say.
Right.
I just picture the team rocket is blasting off again. Ding.
Yep.
But I guess getting to a point that, I mean, that would be awesome. But where do you think, like, the ones for the prisoners, what about them? The coincidence of, what did you say, like 30 prisoners or however many prisoners it was to develop it at the same time?
Yeah, and then go away. And actually with the controlling thing, even like the baby, I guess a baby would probably learn to control something like that sooner than anybody. But yeah, the prisoners is a really good example because they wouldn't have controlled it. They wouldn't have hidden it.
Yeah. Yeah, they wouldn't have wanted
to. But they had a reduced power level, too. So they couldn't go and, like, mess stuff up. But maybe it was just enough to annoy the guards. And they're like, hey, maybe we should put a lid on this or we're going to get electrocuted. Man, they should have tried to get the chair. And, like, that's where my mind would go. Like, I'll intensify my power and turn into Electro and, like, bust out of the
dead. Didn't work at all.
Well, come to find out, he was just crazy.
Yeah. Him and those 20s.
We executed an insane man, which is, you know, par for the course back in the 1800s.
Yeah.
Although I don't think the electric chair was invented until about like the turn of the century. So,
well, he was the electric chair.
Hey, that's just what they want you to think, Tommy.
Yeah.
We've had electric chairs since the 1400s.
Right. Some guy over there pedaling a bicycle.
Oh, that would suck. Like, you got to get to speed before it kills you. You're just sitting there like, can you go faster?
It starts out as that little electricity. You're like, ooh. That's nice. That would suck. God, that would suck. I think you'd start smoking before you died.
They get tired. It's like shift's ended. We'll restart tomorrow.
Just leave them there.
So, supposedly the electric chair. Well, not just the electric chair, but using electrodes to electrocute people came from some guy named Alfred P. Southwick, who was a dentist based in Buffalo, New York in 1881.
Oh, so it wasn't far away.
There. Yeah.
What'd you say?
The electric chair was first utilized in 1890. So
there you go.
No
so
shit.
Those 1920s guys, they would have got it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Why did a dentist invent that? Can you imagine going to the dentist? He's like, I got to electrocute your face, man.
Oh, my. It's just like you hold your mouth open.
Oh, shit. Maybe that's a good idea.
You ain't biting me.
I love this. The electric chair continues to be accepted an accepted alternative method of execution in states like Mississippi and Oklahoma to be utilized if other forms of execution are ruled unconstitutional at the time of the execution.
That's today. Like, we still got electric chairs in Mississippi.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they still go with the lethal injection because that's more humane. So
can I, like, request the electric chair? If I went to prison?
Yeah, you can.
Oh, really?
You can.
Dude, that's totally how I would go out.
Yeah, in states where they have multiple forms of execution. That's why that one guy in Arizona got the firing squad, because he requested it.
So, I don't know if I'd request that. I feel like everybody would just blatantly shoot me where it wouldn't kill me.
Yeah. All 10 of them just shoot you in your balls. Yeah. They're like...
Like, if you're, like, one of those, you know, crazy people that murder little children, then yeah, I'm not gonna shoot you in the heart. I'm gonna shoot you in, like, the thigh.
I'm gonna start shooting your fingers off one at a time.
Right?
Yeah.
So,
can you choose any method? Because I would be like, throw me out of a plane. That would
It has to. I think it has to be considered humane. So, like, the firing squad, the electric chair, gas chamber is up for debate now. Lethal injection is up for debate now. And I mean, all of them are technically up for debate, but no, you can't get, like, blood eagled or, I don't even think they do hangings anymore because it's not considered, humane. So, though, which is funny, during the trials, for the Nazi, high command, well, essentially they just went to trial. And then, like, right after they were marched to the hangman where they got hung, apparently the guy who did the hanging, people question his ethics because he would essentially hurt the people as they were getting hung, like bust their heads open and stuff like this and all different types of stuff. And all I can say is he was killing Nazis, so I don't feel bad for the Nazis, so... Like, man. If you want me to care, I just don't. So right. There's that.
Yeah. Right.
Kudos on that, man. Give him a medal. That's what I say.
Yeah, that's pretty legit. Same thing for, you know, I think you mentioned the child crimes earlier, any pedophile and stuff. Yeah. Like, no.
Like, there's a point where it's like, that person kind of deserved it. So.
Yeah. Now, if they went to prison and were executed for drugs...
Yeah,
you'd probably have to have an insane amount of drugs to get executed, but
yeah.
Then it's like, no, you leave them alone.
Well, what is it? Gosh, what is the place? Is it the Philippines or is it Taiwan? Thailand? There's some place where if you get caught with drugs, they do consider executing you.
Man,
that's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
I'd have went to prison. And died once, but, you know, it is what it is.
So.
Whew. Well, all right. So have we picked our superhero / supervillain names if we get this power?
I haven't thought about it.
Nice. I haven't either.
I need time because it needs to be perfect.
It does. It does. Yeah.
I'm assuming you've thought about this the whole time you've researched it. So what's yours?
Yeah. Oh, no, I haven't either. I was just curious.
Oh, okay.
I figured I'm not wearing spandex, though. I do know that.
Man, how comfortable could that really be for them? I mean, come on. Like,
and especially with this power, if it's like messing up your clothes, like, you know, you'll be lucky if I'm just running around in boxers and that's
right.
It. I'll be Captain Box. No, there's already a Captain Underpants.
Yeah.
Tra-la-la.
That is a weird story, too, because it's like, what, some kid just, like, transforms into Captain Underpants or something? I can't remember.
They turn their school principal into him.
Yeah.
And so he's this... hard up, you know, stressed asshole, and then they snap their fingers. He turns into this goofy superhero that just wears underpants.
Which is kind of weird in a way, if you think about it.
I used to read the books to my son when he was younger, and it's like he fought an army of toilets one time. I'm like, I don't. All right, we're getting way off now talking about Captain Underpants.
Yep. Nice.
I think we've explored all of our possibilities and research and data. Is there any other questions or areas you wanted to explore?
No.
Back to professional Shane.
That's weird. It's like there's two of you.
Well, for all of our astronomy zodiac people out there, I am a Gemini, so apparently I can be two people very easily.
Nice. I'm a Scorpio. Right. Tommy doesn't know what he is.
I'm a Libra.
No, he's not. Actually. I'm just kidding. Actually, I think I'm on the verge of, like, depending on what you look at, a lot of the ones I see, the 23rd is Scorpio, but some of them, the 23rd is Libra, and it just, I've always just stuck with Scorpio because it's cooler.
Well, mine's like the 1st of October, so.
Yeah.
Like, I'm stuck Libra either way you put it, so.
Nah.
Yeah.
Which is cool because it's like, oh, you're like a judge with the scales and everything, and it's like, yeah.
Yep. I pee on your scales.
Good. Got to weigh them down somehow, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's end this before we start talking
Zodiac. Oh, speaking of, wait. Speaking of that, because we didn't even talk about that, what happened with the astronomy thing? What did they figure anything out with that?
No, they studied her, you know, for like 7-8 weeks until her powers just stopped and went away.
Oh.
And she went home. So, yeah, they all, like, wrote a bunch of books and papers, but that was it. They just observed her, essentially, until the power stopped.
Huh. Okay. Well, I had to ask because you mentioned it, so.
Yeah. There wasn't much more besides their findings and papers, and they called all the different scientists in, and that's where, you know, some of them were like, oh, yeah. She faked this.
You're always going to have those that come in and just disprove anything that's slightly paranormal or past the concept of the human understanding. So,
yeah.
Oh, yeah. They could see it all unfold right in front of them, like demons ripping from the ground and hellfire and aliens in the sky shooting at the demons. And I'm like, there must be projectors hidden nearby.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it's, I think we tend to block out what we don't understand because it scares us, so.
And sometimes, I think we believe so much that we see it everywhere. And shit, Josh and I camped and saw space squids and demons
in
the bushes.
It could have been the alcohol, too.
Look, the devil was standing there. No, I took pictures of it. And Shane's got video of the squid.
I mean, we have evidence that these things were there.
Yeah. I was just taking a pee. I'm like, the devil is standing right there.
And they did move. Like, it was like one of them was handing the other one something, and then
it
was done. It was pretty weird.
See, that's the kind of thing that makes what would make me not want to go to sleep that night if I saw that. Like,
we slept just fine.
We were trying to figure out the lantern, why the lantern was moving so much.
Oh, I forgot about that.
Dude, there was no breeze, and the lantern would just start swinging, and I'm like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. Shane would walk over there and stop it, and it would start swinging again.
It would even got to where, like, if we got close, it would stop on its own.
Yeah, if you walked up to it.
Do we need to investigate Enid now?
Right? Dude, it was wild. It was wild. We weren't even looking for anything, and it was fucking there.
Yeah, just chilling. And then shit, Charles Miller the dog materializing out of thin air. And
what if he was your guard dog?
Right? I wish I was recording when he ran up like that, because it was literally, I was like, Charles Miller, where are you? I didn't fucking see the dog. I was looking out and over the lake. And all of us, it was just instant pitter-patter of his feet on the concrete.
Good times.
Yeah.
Good times.
Anyways.
All right. So you guys got some final thoughts on old Angelique?
Josh, you want to go first?
Sure. I don't know where the powers came from, or this ability came from. I don't even think we really discussed where it could have come from. If anything gave it to her. But I think it would be a badass thing to happen, to me. I would move everything. I'd be like Shane over there, just destroying everything. I kind of believe this is a thing that happened mainly because there are multiple stories of it happening. You know, the guys in the prison, the baby. And she was studied by actual scientists and actual astronomers and actual people, not, you know, just neighborhood ghosts or neighborhood people. Let me see. I don't know. Yeah, I think I think this was a good real story. I think it's weird that it happened to a 14-year-old girl, but it could happen to anybody, obviously. So, and the fact that people don't believe that it happened, the researchers, the scientists don't, they publish papers saying that she was faking it, is wild to me when you saw it firsthand. Like, and I'm going to assume in a controlled environment, not just out in the wilderness, mm-hmm. you know. So, but yeah, I think that's where I'm at on that. This is a real story about a little girl with magical powers. For only 10 weeks. Only 10 weeks. That's all you get. Better make the best of it.
All right. 10 weeks is a long time, though.
That is. Yeah. That is a long time.
I'm kind of, you know, I think the reason a lot of the scientists would like probably know is not just because, you know, seeing things outside of their concept of reason, but also within the scientific community, if you pursue anything that's considered pseudo, your name is quickly like denounced, right? like, there's a lot of gatekeeping in science, and a lot of people don't realize that. You know, like if you want to explore the paranormal and try to find out if it's real or if it's something to do with like how we do it, energy, waves, whatever, you know, people tend to frown upon it and say things like, you know, you don't know anything. But as far as this girl, I think it's real. I think it's probably deals a lot with vibration, hence why, you know, one side of her body was warm. Maybe it was vibrating a lot faster or mm-hmm. more. If she was able to control the vibrations to push things, that could probably cause, like you said, the ionized air.
Mm-hmm.
Or just friction in general causing electricity. Who knows? But I think it's real. I think it's definitely something to do more research and look into, you know, and figure out how she got the powers, because that is very interesting, especially all of them, from the baby probably born, but like the prisoners and all these other people just, I don't want to say magically, but just out of nowhere getting this ability, you know. And one could argue her coming into womanhood probably sparked it, or, you know, whatever. So I'm very curious on how that happens, how one would acquire these powers. So, but yeah, I'd love to look more into it.
Government experiments.
Yeah. Remember the homework, your essay that's due. So I will say, I love the vibration theory. I definitely think that's what it is. It explains all the little pieces of it, how it wasn't actually electricity, even through high voltage syndrome these days, you know, and it's when people affect their watches and their lights and things like that. So I definitely agree. I am going to say, too, that's probably going to be my next topic, is vibrations now, because we've mentioned it through the years a lot, you know, in association with their scientific theory. There's, you know, even like, like ghost theory with vibrations, even just positivity. I mean, we've all heard it, you know, good vibrations. And there's theories like if you're a high vibrational person, you know, you're positive and low vibrational. And so I think digging deeper into that side, we can figure out the source on why it would happen to certain people where they get out of sync, is how I said it earlier. So that's, I know we're like, how did it happen? We don't know, but I think it has something to do with being out of sync with the universe. Something changed her, Angelique's vibrational pattern to the point that it was displayed like this. And I think the same thing happened to all those other people. And it could be something, you know, spiritual, internal energy wise that did it. It could be something in the universe that shifted. Like, that's probably what happened to all those prisoners. That wasn't an individual basis. Something probably misaligned in their environment as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there's some really cool stuff to explore there, because their vibrations are connected to just the universe in its entirety. I'm actually kind of excited about this.
Yeah.
Here's a question I got for you, Shane. What if it's not getting out of sync with the universe, but getting in sync with the universe?
That could be a good theory. And why we don't see it to that intensity these days? Because the government figured out, and they want people to stay out of sync. So that's why they put, you know, fluoride in our water and things like that to keep us out of sync, you know, keep us from being highly vibrational. Well,
I was going to go on the same aspect of, and I guess we could just hold off till the next time you do a story for it, but I was going to go off with, you know, as a kid, you know, people say they see ghosts or things like that, and as you get older, you're told, no, you don't. It's just a figment of your imagination, and then you forget it, and then it's gone. You quit seeing it because in your mind, you're like, it's not there. So what if that's the same way? We're just, over time, just taught not to, you know, ground ourselves.
Yeah, definitely.
Televisions.
That definitely. And it's funny. Yeah, we got to save all this for when we talk about vibrations. But this one specifically, and as far as it going away, I think that's what it was. She either went back out of sync or into sync, you know, however you want to look at it. I don't think she learned to control it and hide it to be that intense. And both of you guys mentioned the scientist. What I think's funniest about that is they publish stuff saying they saw it, and they only publish their naysaying after it went away. So they were down to back it as long as they thought other people could see it. And then I think it goes into, like Tommy was saying, like, you know, you don't want to be associated with pseudo stuff. And once no one can see it anymore, it's all he said, she said, and it's just easier to be like, oh yeah, she was just super strong.
And you look at around that time period too. I mean, you didn't have video cameras and all this other recording stuff where you could capture it and be like,
right,
look. But even now, if you did, people would be like, oh, you faked it, you know.
Oh, right. That's AI.
Yeah. So.
Good stuff. I like this. I like old Angelique. That was a fun one to discuss.
Thank you, Bree. Thank you.
Well, all right, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today. If you haven't done it already, leave us a like, a rating, a review, whatever your podcast platform initiates for you. Follow us on all socials. Order merch from our Etsy shop and sign up for our Patreon, which comes with exclusive access to early release unedited audio footage as well as early release video footage to look at our pretty faces.
God help you on that part.
And as always, these are just our thoughts, and let us know what you think.